checking the list, checking it twice to see who's been naughty or nice, right? Is that how it goes? The nursery rhyme. Do you understand that nursery rhyme is brainwashing children to be in a workspace mindset? But it's a good, but in a way, it's a good thing because it's telling you there's good and evil. Nice and naughty, good and evil. So in one hand, it's telling you there's good and evil. On the other hand is there's a list, there's a book being recorded. But on the negative side of it, it's a brainwashing system telling you that it's a works-based system, that you got to be good enough for Santa Claus to give you a gift. So Santa Claus, there's a channel on YouTube that talks about atheists. Atheists become atheists because of the Santa syndrome, you know. You can just Google it, Santa syndrome. But think about it. There's a list, checking it twice to see who's been naughty or nice. Now the seven spirits of God go out from the throne to see whose heart is right by Him. Now how can you get your heart right with God without it being works? Without it being a works-based system, how is that possible? How's it possible? It's only possible if you appropriate the righteousness of Christ. You look to Jesus by faith. You can only be good and not naughty. You can only be righteous and not sinful because of the shed blood of Jesus, the blood cousin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So the naughty or nice, checking the list, checking it twice, is under law. And so the letter is given to kill you, to cut you, that you have to die to your own righteousness and trust in Jesus. And so the nursery rhymes, on one hand, they're promoting a mindset of a works-based system. And pretty much the whole system is promoting that. Corporations, everything, even Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know. But he's trying. The creatures that are flesh creatures, they want to mooch off of other people. They want to let, it's not about rules. It's about an internal change. So you go to work not to be greedy. You go to work really to help other people, to be honest with you. That's the truth, people. Because it's a repeat every day. God is, and so one of the things, I had a friend I used to talk to, he says, yeah, but I gotta save for retirement so that I don't depend on people when I'm older, and which is true. That is true. So in one hand, you do work for yourself to save so that you're not dependent on other people. On the other hand, you know that God is going to take care of you, right? And it looks like a works-based system, but it's not really a works-based system. Going to work is not really works-based at its root. It's becoming a sacrificial offering based on love. If you go into the military and knowing that you're going to go to war, you're sacrificing for your country. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. So the ultimate example would be, you go into boot camp, you follow the company commander's rules, leadership, you have to do your duty. there's times during doing your duty you don't feel like doing your duty, but your motive to going in there was to save the country if it's under attack, to save your fellow citizens from an attack from the outside, right? So there's times when you're working, when you dread it, you don't feel like working. But deep down, your motivation, and this is why when people vent and say stuff, sometimes it's not, you don't have to take every little thing somebody says to heart. Because they might just be venting, you know. But their heart, this is why God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward. So if I go into the career that I choose because I enjoy it, but one day I complain and say, this sucks, or something like that, I might have had just a slip, right? But we all, the cares of this life, the troubles, and man born of woman is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. So the trouble that you face in life, it's painful at times. So your heart is, I wanted to do this career because I enjoy this kind of work, or this is my calling. But there's going to be times where you fall into the getting tired of stuff, you know, enduring. But that's not real. That's a fake reality, to be honest with you. But this place, God is a high priest. He knows what you're going through, right? Heart pains, body pains, spiritual birthing pains, everything down here, the reason it's painful is because it's like pushing out the baby. It's birthing process. You have to give up things. The goal is to worship God, you know, and you have to give up some stuff.
There, get
the
work and run.
Yeah.
There we go, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
So you have to give up the idols, and you have to give up your own will, and you have to give up your own ideas and your own understanding, and it's the birthing process, which is painful. But my point is, it's never a works based. Even though the nursery rhymes, even though going to work, everything seems to be works based in the natural. But once you enter into a spiritual awakening or understanding that it's not really works based at all. It's never been works based. It's always been grace, because Jesus, before the foundation of the world, he died, he went to the cross, he came down here and he sacrificed out of love. He did his work. He did the good, he did the ultimate work for the humans, but he didn't do it out of work. Because he didn't do it out of duty. He did it because he loved the humans. Why? I don't know. Only God can love the humans like that. Who would love the evil humans in their sin? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Only God could do that. Knowing that the hand that feeds you, you bite it. Knowing that you're feeding, And the hand that feeds them, they're gonna bite your hand. Who else could do that besides God? Who else could do that? Knowing that the whole creation is gonna bite the hand that feeds it. But he went to the cross anyway, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And so we were rebelling against God until we finally gave up. And we ran to Jesus. We wanted to be our own God. We wanted to figure it out on our own strength. We wanted to be our own master of our destiny. Which is a joke. We want, you know, a lot, you know, there's something to the new, you know, you can sow seeds and have a harvest, right, in your thought life. I know that. But so there's something to this new age thing. Everybody has a calling. So some of these new age people, they learn how the program works, but they can only go so far, because God is going to yank a knot in them. Because if they're trying to get to God by their own righteousness, they're gonna hit a brick wall eventually. They might be able to manipulate farm the spiritual with their thoughts and get a harvest, but eventually God is going to put a roadblock up, and they're going to be scratching their head thinking, I thought my system was going to work. Well, it works till God says, I've had enough of you trying to be your own God. Look at Job. Job was managing his house like crazy. He was being blessed, and the devil couldn't touch him. He had all them kids and wife and all the land. He had some money. The devil couldn't touch him. He was doing everything right. He was sowing the seed. His thoughts, he would go behind his house and do a blood sacrifice to cover his... He was doing everything right. And when the devil, when God released the heads and the devil attacked him, first thing he did is he killed those animals that were, he was doing his blood sacrifice. As an offer, as a cover. Part of that was God was moving him away from ritual. He was a good man, but God was moving him away from a ritual outward show to an inward trust, resting in Jesus, resting in God. And so God was actually moving Job away from works-based ritual traditions and his own understanding to just resting in. He said, were you there when I created the behemoth? He said, no. Were you there when I storehoused all the snow in the heavens? He said, no. Where were you, Job, when I created this thing? He had to fall down on his knees. He says, I shouldn't even be talking to a righteous God. You know, why are we even talking to a righteous God? The Bible says to come boldly to the throne of grace, but why are we even able to do that? Why would a human be able to go to God who's a holy God? And I'm telling you, I've heard God's voice, and he is patient to the hilt. I've heard his voice 9 times. And you can tell by his voice that he puts up with our foolishness and our insanity, because he knows what we are in the flesh. You know, he knows what you're going through. He's a great high priest. So how are we able to go to a holy God? We can only go because the veil was rent when Jesus went to the cross. The veil was rent and it was open. Come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need. That means you're going to have needs. Even though you can sow the seeds, even though you can have all faith to move, there's going to be a time of need down here in the natural. It's crazy stuff. You got the sins of omission, sins of commission. You got sins of your neighbor, sins of your spouse, sins of your children, sins of your parents and grandparents. You're surrounded by sin as you're being changed in the inner man, more righteous in the inner man to think like Jesus. Now, are you going to face trouble down here? Definitely, 100% you're going to face trouble. Can you run from trouble? No, you're going to have to face it head on. You're going to have to face it head on. I mean, you know. The Bible says, man born of woman, his days are full of trouble as a spark flies upward. What does that mean? What that means is, when you hit a piece of metal on another piece of metal, the spark's going to fly up, right? You're born a woman. What does that mean? You're born of the flesh, in the natural. The woman's the flesh side of Adam. You're born down here in this machine, material realm, ma, drama, machine, material realm. Baby comes out of the womb saying, ma, 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 crying. So you come out crying, and you cry pretty much your whole life. You might not admit it, but you're pretty much crying your whole life. Till you hit the grave, and then you get your new body. No more tears after that. But you're pretty much crying, because it's a pushing out the baby process. Sanctification is a lifelong process. And if you're really being sanctified, it's going to be painful. There might be some people that are not saved and not crying, but why are they doing drugs? Why are they drinking? Why are they running around on their spouse? Why are they running the streets? Why are they living with one they're not married to? Why? Because they're in fear. They're trying to put on a fake face that they got it all together when they don't. When they don't. You know I'm telling the truth. Why else do they do drugs and drinking? And they got it going on. Even Warren Buffett, he lost a lot of money. Why is he holding on to all that cash right now? He's an investor. Investors don't just hold on to cash, because you make money off of cash, off of investing. You don't hold money as an investor. That's the whole purpose of investing, is to let it work for you. Why is he holding all that money in cash? Because he's afraid of something. Something he's afraid of. Think about it. Think about what I'm saying. I'm telling the truth. An investor mindset does not hold cash unless he's afraid of something. You invest. He's been an investor his whole life. That's what you do in life. Life is about investing your time, your money, your energy, your life into something or somebody or some cause. But he's not investing his money, and he's the best investor in the world. What's he afraid of? His wife cheated on him. He should have known she was half his age. She cheated on him. He kicked her out. So, you know, that's part of it. He's got some kind of paranoia probably on that. He won't admit it ever, but, you know, I don't blame him for kicking her out. He should have kicked her out. He should have never married. He should have known. But long story short, you can build a case and you can actually see what he's thinking. You can know what he's thinking. Because there's nothing new under the sun. It's either the book of Job, or it's either the book of Genesis, or it's either the book of the book of Joshua. It's in the Bible. When you got all that money, your wife cheats on you, he divorces her a split second, which is, I don't blame him, good for him. But then you got all these people working for you. You don't know who's your friend, because you're the richest man in the world. You don't know who's your friend. You don't think that affects him. He don't know who to leave his money with or his business with. He don't know what to do, because he's being surrounded. I mean, he should be old enough to know he shouldn't have married that woman. But he got deceived. He got tricked. The richest man in the world got tricked. And so, long story short, I don't care if you're the richest man in the world. Man born of woman is full of trouble as the sparks fly over. Because when you come into this universe, you're being hit. You're being hit face to face with people, face to face with situations. There's sparks. You're being hit with the universe. You're being hit with the word. You're being hit with the law. You're being hit with run to Jesus, gospel preachers preaching at you. You're being hit on every side. And if you're married with kids, you're being hit. The in-laws, you're being hit. Everything's hitting you. The news, the media, the sparks are flying. And so what is the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion, like he told Job, Rest in God. Trust Jesus. Trust God. Rest in His finished. God is in control. Don't try to figure it out in your own power. Rest. Jesus said, and tomorrow has enough trouble in itself. Today, there's enough trouble for today. Just think about that. You know, you can plan for your retirement so you're not dependent on people, but that could change. You could be dead tomorrow. So today is live in the now. Live now. You can only do what you can do, you know.